Blog Talk Radio.
Here today. I know Bonnie is still gone and out and about, and I believe, Ron, are you there?
I certainly am. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, or afternoon, wherever you're at.
That's right, or afternoon.
What is on our agenda for today? What is going on in the heavens today, Ron?
Well, as we all probably know by now, we had one of these powerful super moons over the weekend. And
yes,
the actual 3 days of the super moon or full moon was Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And Sunday was the exact moon. It occurred, I believe, at 2:13 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time. So did you see the moon, Casey, by any chance?
I did. It was huge. It was really nice. There was the night it was actually full, it was a cloudless night, so we got to see it. And then the other nights kind of surrounding, we had a little bit of, you know, a little bit of cloud, a little bit of foggy, which I'm going to thank people for any rain prayers that they've been doing, because for the last couple of days, it's been raining in fits and spurts. It'll rain a little bit, and then it comes out and it's sunshiny, and then it rained twice yesterday, so that was really awesome. You know, appreciate that. It's like, keep that coming for our farmers who are growing stuff. And it's raining right now, so I know most people, you know, why are you excited about rain? Because it's keeping the crops alive. People like to eat. We're glad to have rain to grow the food. So, but yeah, I did see it at least clearly one night. So it was beautiful. It was just beautiful.
Wasn't it amazingly bright? Some people,
yes,
even said staring at it for a period of time even hurt their eyes because of the amount of light coming off of the moon.
Oh my.
Now, let me tell what a supermoon actually is for those that may not know. The moon goes around the Earth in an elliptical orbit. It's not just a perfect circle. It's an elliptical orbit. That means it will get closer to the Earth at certain times and further away at other times. Now, when it just so happens that the full moon will be occurring when the moon is at its closest to the Earth, we call that a supermoon, and it is bigger and brighter. Now, I've heard estimates from 17% bigger to 30% bigger, depending on what newscast you were listening to, and the brightness tends to be about the same. They say it is about 12% or slightly more brighter, and we've got one more coming up, so don't worry if you've missed the last two. We've had this one over the weekend, and the full moon in July was also a super moon. So
Wow. If
you haven't seen those two, then write this date down on your calendar and be ready to go out and see this final one for this year. September the 8th, we are going to have another super moon.
Nice.
And this one will be at 9:39 p.m. Eastern Time.
Ooh.
Now, if you are in the, so it'll be great, it'll be during the evening hours, it'll be 6:39, of course, p.m. Pacific time, and if you are in England, the U.K., or any parts of that area of Europe, Western Europe, it would be at 1:39 a.m. on September 9th. So it's going to be in the sign of Pisces. That will be the 16-degree, 19th minute of Pisces. And that will be our next supermoon. In July, we had one in Capricorn, which was actually, in all honesty, everyone, the worst particular sign placement for the moon because it was in its detriment. And that's a term we use in astrology to say that the planetary body was in the sign opposite the sign it rules. Supposedly its worst possible placement. Its most uncomfortable sign. The moon rules the sign of Cancer. And Cancer in the astrology zodiac is opposite Capricorn. And that's where the full moon occurred, Capricorn. Now, the one that occurred over the weekend was Aquarius. Yes, your sign. That's it, huh? And many signs, listeners, because Aquarius is a sign that's very attractive to not only astrology, metaphysics, New Age, spirituality. And the one coming up is Pisces. Now, this is going to be a water moon because it's in a water sign. And sometimes people look at the September moon as being the harvest moon, even though traditionally we think of it in October. But it's quite interesting that this year the September moon will be much bigger and larger than the moon in October. These moons exert much greater influence on the Earth. There's greater influence on tidal action. There's greater influence on people, animals, creatures, because of its closeness and proximity. So this will be the last supermoon of this year.
Okay.
So you've got another chance to see one.
I've got a kind of a funny question. So when there's a super moon in Aquarius, what kind of things does it prompt us to do? Is that, I mean, I know, of course, you know, Aquarius is like, philosophical, philanthropic, unusual events, that kind of stuff. So how exactly does that affect us?
It's what I call the aha moment moon. In other words, you will suddenly reach an aha, if there is such a concept, of an idea that you've been working on or pondering over or contemplating. You suddenly get the revelation of it. You suddenly see the big picture. The pieces suddenly come together, and you get this quick, even surprising to you, conclusion of the insight that moon will give. It's also a rather restless moon because Aquarius likes to explore. It likes to be independent. It's very emphasizing its freedom. It doesn't like to be encumbered. It doesn't like to be under anyone's thumb. It likes to have its sense of independence. And so this is a very creative, brilliant, take a chance, think out of the box, come up with new concepts, come up with new things type of full moon.
Aha, all right. And then Pisces, what will the Pisces, because I'm thinking Pisces, I know that's a water sign, and that's, you know, since
yes.
the moon, you know, ruling emotions anyway, it's like, and these are have more effect on us, because, you know, any time that you have something that has more effect on the tides in the ocean, you know it's going to affect a smaller creatures, including humans.
Well,
so
this
what's
one is going to
do?
Be the most mystical of the three super moons. This is going to be the most psychic inducing and intuitive producing of the moons. This one will be very important for meditation, for dreams, for dream imagery. This one is very good for people who actually are more naturally intuitive. They're going to have more of a sensoriness, an ability to pick up on things, a heightening of their psychic ability. It's also good for people who want to go on retreats or go on some type of way in which they kind of turn off their day-to-day activity of life and go to a place where they can retreat or be private or be private with a group or be private with an organized retreat or just get away on their own, because this is the kind of full moon that's incredibly good for breaking the routine of life and getting into a calming down, more mystifying state in life.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to emphasize the negative side of it. You have to be very careful with alcohol, drugs, all types of drugs, street drugs, medical, pharmaceutical drugs, because those are things ruled or associated with this sign. And this will enhance the effects of all of those on people's bodies.
Ah, okay. Wow. See, I always think it is good to give those cautionaries, because, you know, with anything, it's like the yin and yang. I mean, and I know Bonnie really, you know, works it. You know, we need to be positive because, well, we already have a lot of not so cool things happening on the planet right now. But it's always good to give the upside and the downside. So, you know, when you're in the light, you know, this is the way it acts when it's in its most positive aspect. And it's like, and then, you know, on the flip side, let's be careful for. And I think that's just as important, because it helps people kind of maybe steer clear. It's like, I look at those as like the little yellow warning sign when you're driving on the road. It's like, you know, careful, you know, pothole ahead or whatever, you know.
Right. Precisely. So we've got one more coming up and one more chance to see a moon that is heightened in its brightness and its size.
Cool.
Kelly, I've had something happen this week that's very interesting. People have been, I don't know how this happened, but it kept coming up that people were asking me, well, am I a dog person? Am I a cat person? What do you see in my chart? And that's very interesting, because it wasn't something that I was necessarily addressing or bringing up. And I thought for a moment we might address this because people do align themselves with certain types of animals. Now, if you are a dog person, dogs are ruled by the planet Mars. And strong placements of Mars in a person's chart will make them a dog person. Now, Mars rules the sign of Aries. And the wonderful actress and singer Doris Day is an Aries. In fact, I believe she has several planets in Aries. And she's been a person who has opened up her heart to dogs for years. And even in movies, most of her movies, in the latter part of her movie career, she would have dogs in her movies. And there's the connection just from the sign of Aries, her sun sign, and dogs. Now,
I was kind of wondering now, is that any connection with like the Chinese, you know, the Chinese astrology? Is that referencing that, or are we just talking about, you know, people say, oh, I'm a dog person or I'm a cat person?
You know, it's interesting. The Chinese zodiac uses different animals, and they have 12 animals, and these were believed to be the animals that came to the Buddha when he had his enlightenment. And therefore, he gave these 12 animals a special blessing, and they each acquired a sign of what was to become the zodiac, the Chinese zodiac. In the case of the dog, one of the signs of that zodiac, that's actually equivalent to the Western sign of Libra. In other words, that if you look at the zodiacal alignment of the animals and visual creatures of the Western zodiac, and you look at the alignment of the Eastern Zodiac, dog would be equal to Libra. And they would have some similar characteristics, absolutely, in describing how they would work. You know, loyalty, love, et cetera. Love, bonding, that type of thing. And Libra is a very connected sign to one that they love. And dogs, of course, are very loyal to their masters. Now, if you're a house cat type of person, and I'm saying that in characteristically that for the house cat versus the larger parts of the cat family, the house cat is ruled by the moon. And that's why they often like to go out at night, explore at night when the moon is full. We hear the old proverbial howling on the fence at night. But people who have very prominently strong placed moons in their chart will often prefer cats and have a very strong connection with them. Now, Mercury is the planetary body that is related to birds, and a very prominently placed Mercury in certain ways will be good. Oh, excuse me, I've got a knock at my door. Would you keep talking?
Oh.
They're related to birds. Hold on. I'm expecting a delivery, and that's what it is.
All right. Wow. Kind of reminds me of those the old radio shows they used to have. It's like, okay, here's the knock on the door. And Ron's going to answer the door now. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I know I've been, because I'm going to have to reiterate this again for him. But, I know, because I'm a dog person. I was born the last day of the year as a dog. So when he gets back, I'm going to actually ask him, because that would be, I'm thinking that would be kind of like on, you're back. You know, I was sitting here kind of musing out loud. First of all, I said, you know, oh, those old radio shows, like, here's the knock at the door for Ron.
Well, it isn't one of those old murder mysteries in which somebody knocks and then that spooky music plays. Actually, of all times, I was expecting a FedEx delivery, and it could have occurred before or after our 1 hour of the show, but it came now. But I've got it, and it's okay. All right. Now, birds
and
bird-oriented
really
people are ruled by Mercury. Jupiter is the planet of large animals. Jupiter would be related to animals such as elephants,
horses,
whales, giraffes, the big animals on the surface or in the waters of the world. And we're back to Mercury again. Although Mercury rules birds, Mercury is connected to small animals, all small, tiny animal creatures. So what's very interesting is you can see the predominant interest, inclination, and desire for pets in one's household. When they do have that type of inclination, you look at that particular planetary body, and boy, does it hit. It's quite amazing.
Wow.
Now, Doris Day is an Aries, and Mars, the ruler of Aries, had that connection with her and dogs. But that doesn't mean it's always going to be Aries. It's more the planet Mars, and the moon rules Cancer. And it does not mean that the sign of Cancer will always give a preference for house cats, but it is the placement of the moon more than the sign of Cancer that will give that interest. And the same thing with Mercury. It doesn't necessarily mean Geminis and Virgos, the two signs associated with Mercury, are going to be connected to birds. It's more the placement of Mercury that's going to be a bird connector. So it's fascinating that during this week, people kept asking me about this, and I kept thinking, well, maybe this is a sign that we should do a small talk about this on the show.
Yeah.
And what are you, Kelly?
That's what I was going to ask you. See, I was born the last day of the year of the dog. It's like February 7th in 59 was the last day of the year of the dog. The year of the pig started February 8th, and I went, thank you, God, you let me be born on February 7th. But I'm thinking, like, in the cusp houses, you know, that kind of stuff where a person is, like, you know, born and where it's a year-long influence for them, where they're born, you know, so close, like, you know, to the beginning or the end of a year, it's like I kind of wonder how much, you know, like blend over, like, you know, in the Western astrology, you know, we have the cusp dates and they're usually several days out, you know, from the signs transitioning. And so I'm wondering how that works in the Chinese system. It's like how many of the characteristics, you know, even though it's like, yes, thank God I'm a dog, and it's like, and I do, I see that, you know, the loyal, dependable, devoted, you know, I'll bite your leg if you're not nice to my friends, you know, kind of thing. It's like, I honestly do see a lot of that. I laughed when I first started looking at those, because I do exhibit a lot of the characteristics of the dog. What I have seen is my brother, bless his heart, is the ear of the pig. Man, it's like, I just want to bite his leg, you know. Like a herding dog. I just want to nip him and tell him, you know, behaves, you know, type of thing. But yeah.
Well, in the Chinese zodiac, there isn't really so much a spillover. It is a whole year, and when you are born under one or the other sign, and you are adhering to that sign for the most part. Now, why is it a year? People often ask me that. Why is it the Oriental zodiac a year, and we have our sun signs changing about or approximately the 21st of each month, so they have 1 month each. And it's 12 signs within a year, and the Chinese zodiac is 12 years long because it goes through all signs, one sign a year. Well, it is pretty much a zodiacal energy system connected to the planet Jupiter. Jupiter is the key foundation factor for the Chinese zodiac. And it is pretty much connected to what sign Jupiter is in for that year. And Jupiter stays in a sign for 1 year. And that's how the Chinese zodiac became a one-year directed energy. So when Jupiter is going to be in Libra, we will tend to be in the year of the dog. When Jupiter is in Scorpio, it's going to be the year of the pig. Now, again, I've had a Scorpio person say to me, I can't win. In one zodiac, I'm this creature, a scorpion. In another one, I'm a pig. They said, this really doesn't look good. Is there another zodiacal system that I can look at? But the pig, right. That doesn't mean the bad characteristics of the pig. It means the cleverness, because we've come to understand how smart pigs are.
Oh, yeah.
And the ability to work with that stealth memory, like the scorpion hidden and then striking forth. Yes, this is a deeply emotional sign. And pigs can become, especially some of the Vietnamese, potbelly pigs could become deeply connected and loyal and loving to their owners.
Right.
So the zodiacal system goes like this. Aries generally relates to the dragon. Aries is a fire sign. And then you've got the dragon with the fire coming out of its mouth.
Right.
I hope I get this right because this is all spontaneous and I'm not connected to the Chinese zodiac at all. I believe the snake is connected to Taurus. Now, don't think of it as the bad, horrible characteristics of the coiled serpent striking. The snake and its strength of will and connection to continue to go on to do its duty and job in the world.
Right.
The horse, believe it or not, is not Sagittarius. It's connected to Gemini.
Oh, wow.
Now,
my mom was a horse, and I actually have one of my older daughter is actually a snake, and what I got out of the snake was they're also beautiful and elegant people, it's like, and they have this way of moving that just is graceful. It's like, so having
Taurus a snake, again, ruled by Venus.
And I'm sitting there thinking, it's like my oldest is a rat. I've got a rat and a tiger. I've got a rabbit.
Wow, what a menagerie you have.
I got a menagerie, right.
Well, I'll tell you, let's keep going. We think immediately of Sagittarius in horses because of the fact that we
centaur.
See the centaur of the sign of Sagittarius, half horse, half man. But actually the horse in the Chinese zodiac is related to Gemini because of its speed of movement, and Gemini, the speed of thinking. Cancer is related to the sheep. And again, that does not mean it is going to be Aries, the ram.
Right.
That's our sign, but the sign of Cancer is related to the sheep. Now,
right. My
Leo,
dad was it. My dad was a sheep or a goat, whichever way you want to go.
But what that means is,
in his case,
that means that
goat,
the sign that the planet Jupiter was very likely in Cancer, either at the beginning or throughout the rest of that year that your father was born.
Right.
And the other child that you mentioned that was a snake, that means Jupiter was in Taurus, because that would be the connection to our Western sign of Taurus. Leo is the monkey. Now, let me see if I remember all of this.
Because my son is a tiger child. He's a Leo tiger.
Oh, they can't be a Leo tiger because they're they would be in opposite signs of the zodiac. But a Leo sun sign could happen for our Western zodiac,
Leo,
and then
sun
they
sign.
Could have Jupiter in Aquarius. Now, Virgo is the rooster, and then we come to Libra, the dog, and Scorpio is the pig. Sagittarius is the rat, and this is, again, signs of the good qualities of the rat, not the bubonic plague carrier type of side of it. Then we get to Capricorn.
And I've heard rats are very intelligent and very quick. And it's like my son, who is what I call a Gemini rat. He's was born in the sun side of Gemini, and then he's, you know, year of the rat. So it's like, and I see that with him. He's, you know, was very quick. He had, you know, when he was younger growing up, he had nearly a photographic memory. It's like, and now he's, you know, he's been in the military a while and going, yeah, I'd have to work getting my memory back. I'm like, oh man, really?
Well, see, that's very likely that Jupiter was in Sagittarius when he was born, because that's the sign of the rat. And again, it was staying in that for 1 year. That was the year of. Oxen was Capricorn. Aquarius, your sun sign is the tiger. That one is when Jupiter's in Aquarius for part of the year or at the whole year. And then finally, the last one. What do you think the last sign of the zodiac would be? I'm going to let somebody write in or call in on that one to give us the answer, because there's one more oriental animal, and I'm just going to see if they would call
in.
Well,
we've got some callers, although what was really funny, as soon as you said that, Ron, as soon as you said, you know, it's like, if we have some callers who will answer this, it's like, all of a sudden, two people just went beep, beep off the board. It's like going, okay, don't call on me. It's like, okay.
they don't want us to call them, but I mean, people who would call in, I would like to leave the 12th zodiacal sign open to see, which would be our Pisces, but...
Is that the monkey?
What would be the... Nope, that one is Leo.
That one's Leo. Okay, that's right,
I just want to see if someone... You can answer the phones, can't you, and get some of their calls?
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's see. We got two callers here who are brave enough to stay on the board. We've got area code 941 and 818. So you're going to get to answer a question for Ron this morning if you want to play along with us. Who are we talking to today?
Hi, my name is Carla.
Hi. How are you doing?
Great.
Do you have the answer?
Of one of the zodiac signs that you didn't say, was it dragon?
Yes.
Was it?
Was it what?
No, the dragon was, wait a minute, no, you said dragon
Aries.
Was with fire. Aries, yeah.
But that was right next to this sign. This would be our equivalent to Pisces, our western sign of Pisces, which we, of course, have for 1 month. But that means if they have this as the year, it would be Jupiter in Pisces for that year.
Oh.
See, I'm gonna hang on. I'm gonna bring 818 on with us here just for the fun of it and see if 818. Who are we talking to here?
Hi, my name is Angie, and I have no idea.
Angie.
Angie, I thought for sure you would be the one that would come up with it.
Okay, Ron, I'm gonna do this a process of elimination because I know because I can. I think I can name them in order. It's like the rat is considered the first year. There's the rat, the ox.
No, the rat is the second year. I don't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
It's the actually the dragon is the first year.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll put it the way I have them memorized is there's rat, ox, there's tiger, there's rabbit, there's
dragon.
Okay. Yeah, dragon, and then snake, and then there's the
horse.
The sheep or the goat, yeah, and the horse. And then there's the rooster and the monkey and the dog and the pig.
Yep.
What about the whale?
All, and you actually, among all of those creatures, you said the one that we're looking for.
I know, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. It's like, which one did you... Was it the rooster? No,
rooster is associated with Virgo. Anytime you want me to say it, I will. But I'll wait if you don't want me to.
I know. I'm thinking back to here and trying to mentally go back to and go. Okay, now which one was it? Rabbit. I think it was rabbit. We didn't know where
you
rabbit was.
Hit it. Now we should all clap our hands loudly because we have now had the answer. You hit it. That is correct. Rabbit. That is the final one of the Eastern Zodiac, the Chinese Zodiac, and that would be equivalent to Pisces. Now, people always say, Pisces, those are fish swimming in water, and a rabbit is a land-based creature. What do they have in common? Well, they're both very quick. Fish can just move, or should I say swim very quickly, and a rabbit can, of course, move very quickly. And there's a certain gentleness and pacifyingness that both of those have. So if you were born when Jupiter was in Pisces, it's pretty much the key. It would be the year of the rabbit. So, again, Jupiter spends 1 year in a sign, and the Oriental Zodiac has that animal for that year that Jupiter is going through as the year of. And so they have orientated their entire zodiacal system to the planet Jupiter. And they don't do things like sun signs, moon signs, individual things like that. They just look
now,
at it.
They,
from
you know,
the
now they do
Jupiter.
Have they do have like a planet or not a planet. They do have like because I've looked at some of this. There's within there how they get different variations or things that break down. I know they have like one of the animals represents each one of the months, and then they have. Oh, golly, what is it? Each of the hours is like, the animals represent each of the hours. And there's like branches and something else, branches and stems and, all kinds of different stuff that they have to get, more of the detail. I do kind of remember, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's because the Buddha had his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. And he had the enlightenment there. And these were the 12 animals that came to him after the enlightenment, and the branches and the stems all in a symbolic way represent that Bodhi tree that he was illuminated under, I should say. So what's very interesting is when you read the characteristics, you will see great alignments. Look at the characteristics, for example, in the Chinese zodiac of the dragon, and look at the astrological sign of Aries, and you'll see remarkable similarities. And this will go down the line. Now, again, we're looking at the sun sign as it's journeying 1 month per sign. They're looking at Jupiter as it journeys 12 years around the zodiac, 1 year per sign. But what's fascinating about this is the characteristics align with each other, and they totally immerse in the energy of the animal of the year.
Wow.
So it's really quite interesting to see this.
That
so
is.
Many times when you go to a Chinese restaurant and they have the placemat down in front of you, and everyone's discussing,
right.
well, what year are you, and what year are you? And then you
right.
can see that you're born under that particular year. If you make the connection then between the Western zodiac and the Eastern, which is on that placemat, you can see that Jupiter was in that sign likely when you were born.
Yeah. Well, and then there's another little hitch there, too. It's like, as I said, I was born February 7th. They don't have the same – they have a different calendar, I guess, or, you know, it's like they go by the moon. It's like it's something like the first full moon or the first new moon after something or other. But I know the Chinese New Year starts on a different day every year.
Well,
it's
you're going to love this one. Are you ready for it? It's
sure.
It's the new moon in the sign of Aquarius.
Oh,
any
wow.
time that the sun and moon sit together in the sign of Aquarius, and that can vary. That moves around
yeah.
because we get that Aquarius new moons on different dates each year. That
right.
will be the Chinese New Year. That will be the beginning of the new sign of the new animal for that year. So
wow.
there's a lot of things that Aquarius can contribute. First of all, in the Chinese zodiac, they're a tiger. Secondly,
cool.
they are the triggering energy, the new moon in Aquarius, for the beginning of the Chinese New Year. And we, as an evolving human race, including our entire solar system, not just the Earth, are all moving through the sign of Aquarius right now, calling this the Aquarian Age. In other words, the moon moves around us, and then we, as one of the planets, move around the sun. But then it gets even more interesting. The sun and all of the planets in our solar system move in a big circle around a central part or a medium part somewhere in the Milky Way galaxy. And this one takes 26,000 plus years to go around that big circle with the sun and
right.
planets
yeah, the grand,
going around us. And that's what causes the signs of the zodiac. And each sign lasts 2,160 years. So if you take 2,160 times 12, you'll find out that is how long it takes to go around this big circle, which we call a grand year, or some people call it a grand circular year, because
right.
we're moving in a circle. Now, right now, we're in the very early parts of Aquarius, but that means 26,000 years ago plus, we were also entering and in the beginning parts of the Age of Aquarius.
Wow.
Because at that point, we were in the same spot in this grand circle that we are right now.
Okay. Nice. I'm sitting here doing the math with this because this okay, because I had to do this out. So okay, so 2,160 years times 12 is actually 25,920, which is like
that's
that
right.
helps me out a lot. Yeah, because I remember that being said. It's like, you know, we say it's approximately 26,000 years for that under the grand.
Yeah,
solar.
It actually we say approximately 26,000, but you're right. It is
right.
just a notch under 26,000. Mm-hmm.
Right. And is that what was corresponding that everybody was so flipped out about in 2012 with the December 21st date? It's like, wasn't that like the end, you know, it was like the ending of that, you know, 25,920 year cycle, and it's like, and then, you know, and then the next day it's like, and it started over again the next day? Was that,
you're actually right in a way. You know what happened then is, at that particular part of our journey in that big grand circle, that means sun and planets in that big circle, we were actually lined up or facing the exact middle center of the Milky Way galaxy at that point
yeah.
in our journey. And we were facing the galactic center where there was great power. And that means approximately 26,000 years before that, we were facing that, 25,900 something, we were facing that. And
right.
we, of course, that was 2012. We're now in 2014, so we are now slowly moving away from facing that galactic center, and we won't be back there again for 25,000 plus years. But
right.
what so many predictors from the Mayan calendar to so many places in predictions from other cultures and countries and peoples of the world, they knew they knew that we were, as a human race, as a planetary body, the Earth, and as a solar system, aligned or facing the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And that's why it was given that term. So many people thought of it as the end of the Mayan calendar. That's all they called it, was the end of the Mayan calendar. Well, we did face that center, and now we're, of course, slowly and have already moved off from facing the center as we continue that very slow but continuous journey around the zodiac.
Right.
And so when our particular solar system enters a sign of the zodiac, we stay in that sign and journey through it, the whole solar system, for 2,160 years. And
wow.
That's what we call an age of. So we have now, in the last number of decades, moved into the sign of Aquarius, and
right.
we probably have 2,100 years or more of Aquarius to go through. And prior to that, we were moving through the sign of Pisces. Now, people will say, well, we're moving backwards. And this is actually called a retrograde motion, and we, in a way, are, because we are moving through Pisces, then Aquarius, and the next age after we go through this one
will be Capricorn.
The 2,100 years something.
2,100 years, right? I know.
2,160 years. We're going to go into the sign of Capricorn, which means we'll be in the age of Capricorn.
Right.
Right now, we're in a human sign age. There really are only three signs of the zodiac that have a fully formed human figure. Aquarius, the water bearer, Gemini, the twins, and Virgo, the maiden of the harvest. Now, the other one that kind of people ask about is Sagittarius,
Minotaur.
Because they see a figure of a man or a woman, but it's a mythological figure. It's half horse, half human. It is not a fully formed human creature. Now, why I'm bringing this up is, in the study of this grand year, it is said that the human race makes quantum leaps in knowledge, in breakthroughs, in understandings, in major evolutionary empowerments, when we are moving through a sign of a human figure. These are called human signs. So we are in one right now. We're in Aquarius, and look at all the breakthroughs from automobiles to airplanes to space travel to computers to technology, all of this. And this is just the beginning of the age. Can you imagine what the next 2,100 years will be like?
Are going to bring
We also have breakthroughs when we go through Gemini, and we have breakthroughs when we go through Virgo.
Virgo.
But those are signs quite a distance away.
I was going to say, wow, yeah. 2,000 years away, I'm thinking, okay, let's see. We got to go through the sea goat, and then we're going to have to go through the centaur.
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius. Let's see, and then,
and then Scorpio.
4,000. And then Scorpio. Oh, boy, 6,000. Okay, so we've got roughly another, we just started this. So 2, 4, 6, 8. We got another 8,000, around 8,500 years to go before the next human sign. Aquarius better make some good strides here.
And then, of course, Gemini would have been another one that we would have went through. So it does have great impact on what human beings understand, what they have breakthrough with, what they come to consciousness with. During, for example, Gemini, they had great breakthroughs in understanding that they don't have to just go out in nature and find things. They can actually cultivate crops. There was an agricultural revolution. You could plant things, and you could have food at any time because you have planted them and you're cultivating them. And other things had breakthroughs at that time. So one of the best things for human history was the understanding of agricultural planting. So look at what we're doing with the technology and the electronic revolution of today. All of this is Aquarius, and all of this is just the beginning of the age. Now, it's very interesting, Casey, that the signs of the zodiac rule different parts of the body.
Right.
And Aquarius rules the blood and bloodstream, and it rules the calves of the legs and the ankles, and the iris of the eyes.
Oh, wow.
Now, I mentioned this for a reason. When we go through a sign of the zodiac, we tend to have the area of the body of that sign emphasized, plus the opposite sign six signs away. Now, let's go back
Leo.
To the age we just finished, the age of Pisces.
Uh-huh.
And the opposite of Pisces is Virgo. Now, during the last 2,160 years, the age of Pisces, Pisces rules the feet. And we had the emphasis of the washing of the feet and Jesus washing the feet of people, Mary Magdalene and others. And the opposite of Pisces being Virgo, we had the virgin birth, the virginity of the saints. We had the emphasis of the virginity. Now we are in Aquarius, and the opposite is Leo.
Yes, one quick comment in there. It's like, I'm also, when you first say that, you know, with the feet, it's like, and the primary, it seemed like the primary mode of transportation was people walked a lot. People, you know, walked, went on foot. I mean, there was no, you know, there weren't really cars or, you know, things like that. So they either walked by animals' feet, either riding or being pulled by, or they walked on their own feet. And then there were the Crusades, which was all about, you know, the search for the Holy Grail. And it's like the whole age of, like, you know, chivalry and all that kind of stuff. And women were kind of put on a pedestal. I'm like going, ha, that's really interesting.
Yes, and you had also the fish. The fish for a long time was the symbol of Christianity. It wasn't the cross.
Oh, yeah.
It
that's
was
right.
The fish, and the fish represents Pisces, the fish. Also, remember when Jesus would find apostles, he found men that were fishermen, and he said,
were
come
fishers
with me.
Of men. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Men. And there's the fish and the connection with fish and walking on water. The miracles of water and wine, all of that's associated with the age of Pisces.
Pisces
was a sign and is a sign of belief systems. And we had not only the establishment of Christianity, but we had Islam, and we had other older existing religions become more established and more empowered. But we pulled off of Virgo, the sign of purity, the virginity, like we said. Now, we are in a human sign, which emphasizes human breakthroughs and understandings and aha moments in the human knowledge awareness level. But we're going to pull off of Leo. And I told many wise and smart people to watch this. And those who are listening, pay attention to this. The opposite of our sign, our age, Aquarius, is Leo. And
Leo
rules the
lion.
The heart. And Leo rules the spine of the back. So...
ooh.
We have been manifesting things through our brain up until now. We think and we create it. We write it down in journals and notebooks, and we manifest it through the power of the mind. We put vision boards up on the wall and look at it.
Right.
And the mind makes that connection. You manifest it. Now, we are in this Aquarian age. We're pulling off of Leo, and Leo rules the heart. And we're going to discover we can also manifest through the heart center. The heart chakra.
And
here's how we do it. The heart creates and manifests through another way than mind and thinking. It manifests through the power of love and the power of positive desire. It's like having two different ways to breathe. We breathe through our nose. We breathe through our mouth. Actually, we're going to be able to manifest the reality in our life and the world around us by not only thinking it and visualizing it, but by using the heart and the heart center of Leo to manifest it through the power of love and positive desire. Now, that's a little complicated, and it's going to take a while for human beings to understand that, but we've got 2,100 years of this age to go yet. And since Aquarius rules the blood and bloodstream of the body, it's going to be some, and I can only imagine, some miraculous discoveries in science in the next 2,000 plus years as to what the blood can do, as to what the blood is capable of creating. I've even had people who talked on this subject in astrology gatherings saying, how do we not know that the blood may be able to be used to regenerate lost limbs? Maybe that's the key for a limb to be regenerated. After all, salamanders and other creatures, when they lose a limb, can regenerate it.
Yeah, they do. Well, and human,
maybe
I think
the blood
with
that
our,
can do that.
Isn't it with our floating rib that it's like we're able, and I don't know if they've actually scientifically done it, but isn't our, quote, floating rib or whatever that is, can that not regrow for us?
You know, I'm not completely sure on that. Could you do some research and find out on that? That sounds a very interesting topic. You mean
yeah,
it cannot
I will
regrow.
Ask. I will certainly ask.
I do know that the one organ of our body that can regenerate the most powerfully is the liver. It has tremendous power to regenerate, and it has more than any other organ power to regenerate. Now, Leo is not associated with the liver, but it is associated with the spine, the backbone, the vertebrae and discs of the spine, and it's associated with the heart and the heart's action, which, of course, pumps the blood, and the blood is Aquarius. So there's the opposition of unity there of Leo-Aquarius. The heart, Leo, pumps the blood, which is Aquarius, which circulates throughout the body. And you can see that because although we see Aquarius as a water bearer with a jug or a piece of pottery pouring water forth onto the land or onto,
right,
let's say, a stream,
but
actually, it can also be
knowledge.
The moving blood. It could be knowledge, exactly. It can be the blood moving within us, the liquid blood in our body.
Oh, wow.
See? So there is going to be, I believe, and this is just my estimation because we're very new in this age and we've made breakthroughs with human communication like the internet and computers and all these electronic revolutionary things. Even the original telephones, before they, you know, when we had to have operators, let's say 1910, make calls, and then we got the corded phone, and then we've got the cell phones. All of these are under the vibration and connection of Aquarius. The ability for some person in one part of the world to just pick up a device and talk to someone instantly in another part of the world, that's all Aquarius.
Wouldn't people from 100 years ago just go, holy moly, we'd have never thought, you know?
Well, that was a huge breakthrough to get telephones in people's homes because we don't think about that because that's generations in our past and these people have all left the planet for the most part. But we really don't stop to think of what a breakthrough it was to have no such thing as a phone in people's homes. Let's say after the Civil War and years after it, and suddenly have a device like that, and you could be in Philadelphia and call St. Louis. You know, that was something that was unthought of. Well, even the first thing that actually began it all was the telegraph. That was the very first technical piece of equipment, and news could be instantly put around the world from that.
We got a quick question from chat. It's like when we were talking about the circulation and the blood system, and the question was, what if someone's a bleeder? You know, so I'm thinking, okay, like maybe a hemophiliac. You know, it's like there's that disease out there that if you're, you know, some people, you know, start bleeding and they can't stop, you know, type of stuff. They have to go in for help. So how would that, I think they're asking, you know, so if you were a bleeder and it's like, and this represents your, you know, the Aquarius waters represents your circulatory system. I don't know, I guess maybe they're asking, what if you bleed out or, you know, or how would you stop that circulation if you didn't want to bleed out?
Well, that's a very good question. To have that condition that we call a bleeder, that health problem, you have to have something in the birth chart that's afflicted to the planet Uranus, which rules the bloodstream, or even more, if there are planets in Aquarius that are heavily afflicting other planets planets in the sign of Aquarius that sign would be heavily afflicting other signs, that would be setting the stage for the birth of having the condition that we call a bleeder. It comes from Uranus and Aquarius placements. But look at the blood and the bloodstream and bloodborne diseases that we never had before, AIDS, Ebola, and all these things that are connected to blood, bloodborne, blood discharge, blood contamination. All of that is from the sign of Aquarius. And people say, well, that's not good. Well, it doesn't mean everything of the sign is going to be good right away. It just means that we have new things associated with the part of the body that sign rules. And these things did not exist in the old age or other ages, and they're coming into existence. So illnesses and diseases that are related to blood contamination passing through the blood or blood discharge can also be some of the side effects we're going to have to learn to conquer and deal with the age of Aquarius.
They said tick bites, and if you get like tick bites and mosquitoes and things like that and insects that carry diseases through the blood. Oh, that was interesting.
Well, see, that's another thing. The blood can be contaminated from the outside. And,
right.
Things from these types of insects that can contaminate or infect the blood, we're going to have to deal more and more with the blood and issues of the blood, but then we're going to also have to deal with discoveries the blood is capable of doing in the human body that we have no idea exist at this point, but eventually in hundreds of years in the future. After all, we have 2,100 years approximately of the age of Aquarius to exist.
When exactly did it start? When exactly, like what year was corresponding to the year, you know, our quote modern calendar year? It's like, when exactly, what year did the age of Aquarius start, do they figure?
Well, this one is a hotbed question, but I have found the vast majority of astrologers tend to line up with this same answer. In early February of 1962, seven planetary bodies all lined up in Aquarius. And I'm thinking it was like February 7th, 8th, 9th. And the only planets that were not in Aquarius were the far outer planets, the ones that you cannot see with the human eye, that you have to see with the telescope.
Right.
The planets Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto
seven
were not in Aquarius.
Seven is huge. I mean, it's like, yeah, we only have like, what, nine planets in our solar system. So to have
seven of them lined up
is huge. It's like, wow.
Well, here's the lineup. The sun in Aquarius, the moon was in Aquarius. So it was during the new moon when the sun and moon were together. So it would have been at the beginning of the Chinese New Year that year.
Right.
Sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and one of the planetary bodies called Chiron that we don't necessarily always use, but even at that point it wasn't discovered, was in the sign of Aquarius. Only the outer planets of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto were not in that sign. So everything else in the solar system, from the inner solar system, from the sun, all the way out to past Saturn, planets were lined up in Aquarius. And if you go back and find research on articles at that time, there were astrologers all over the world, particularly in India. Some of them were in fear. They were hiding in caves. They were thinking the world was going to end. Others were saying, oh, no, we're making the transition now. We're entering the sign of Aquarius. And it's very interesting that if you look at society from that year on, things changed. That was the year of the Cuban Missile Crisis and others, 1 year before Kennedy was assassinated. But if you look at movies and TV shows from the 1950s and early 60s, what a difference from the mid-60s and late 60s when we had love-ins and the beginning of what we call flower children,
right,
and hippies and people standing up and changing their ways of belief systems in the world, college riots. What happened is the age of Aquarius began and the energy of that sign was strongly manifesting in the world itself, and it has been so forever. Now, that's 50-some years ago since that has happened. So we are in that first 60, I said 2,160 years. We've got almost 60 years of that going behind us, and we have 2,100 years plus to go.
Left. Gee, I wonder if I'll live that long now.
Well, you have to come back in future lifetimes to see how it's going to be working out.
Exactly.
But
oh,
keep this in mind. One thing we cannot deny is this is a sign symbolized by a human figure in the Western zodiac. And as such, it is a sign of the zodiac that says you are making huge leaps ahead in technology and breakthroughs ahead in knowledge. It's an air sign, a sign of intelligence, a sign of the mind, a sign of breakthrough new awarenesses, a sign of all the things we are seeing and more.
Is it also communication?
Yes, communication. That's where we get the internet, the telephone, the original one that I said, the telegraph. All of that was all breaking through. I think the very first timing of something was the explosion of Krakatoa in the Sundia Strait, not too far from Java. That was the first thing that happened in the world that occurred with the invention of the telegraph. Once that explosion occurred, within moments, people in London, the United States, and other parts of the world were aware of it. They didn't have to have some ship bring the news or somebody through other ways to bring news and information. They got it very quickly. And it was the telegraph that was the first interconnector for breakthrough, and that was the first event, worldwide event, that was brought around the world by the telegraph. And then from that, we started with the telephone, and then we got into the direction of discovering automobiles, and we got into the direction of getting into air travel with airplanes, and we got further into air and space travel, and then we got into all the technology of today. All of these things are ruled by the sign of Aquarius, and all of these things relate to communication, usually instant communication with others. That's why you can be here in the United States and chatting with someone in Australia instantly, you see.
Right, yeah.
So, all of that.
It sure feels like the electronics has made our planet smaller. You know, I was actually thinking about that the other day. I was like going, you know, we went from having to, you know, go letters that would take, you know, people months to get letters and things like that, and it was like a slower communication system, to all of a sudden it's like the planet, you can be literally anywhere on the planet via Skype, you know, provided people have that, and it's like it just has made the planet smaller. I mean, not physiologically, but it's like in terms of the distances, it's like it no longer takes us the long amounts of time to communicate that it used to, which can
absolutely
be good or bad.
And we have this discussion so many times in astrology classes and groups. Something like Gulliver's Travels could never be written today. When Jonathan Swift wrote about Gulliver's Travels and this man finding a land of miniature people, Lilliput, and then
right,
finding a land of giant people, and then coming back to his England, the world was still unknown out there. It was not known who was living where and what part of the world, and there could be people like this. We now know every spot of the earth, and we now know where every part culture is at. So we cannot have a book written like that today unless it's a total fantasy, fun novel
type of thing. Although what's really interesting is there are races of people that we have found that are, you know, itty bitty, like, you know, short, like, I mean, not dwarfs,
right,
but just, you know, short people. And then there's the really tall people, you know, like I'm thinking some of the African races are like 7 feet. But what's really interesting is in the, I guess I'll say before times, because they're starting to unearth archaeologically, they're starting to unearth these skeletons, and I mean really, really big skeletons. You know, you see these pictures, and they're not Photoshop of these archaeologists. And, like, there might be two or three people beside a skull, and they are about the size. I mean, the skull is bigger than these people are. I'm going, so there was a race of really, really big people around at some point. And then, of course,
that is true. I truly believe that happened in the past because we have the proof of it. It has
right
been found.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, Gulliver's Travel was written about a contemporary man, a doctor who had, through incidents of sea travel, become lost and landed on an island and then had experiences with people that were so tiny they didn't even come up above his ankle, and then people that he didn't even come above their ankle. So it's very interesting that, and it was a satire anyway, but what was interesting is we now know pretty much for contemporary people. Now, what we need to learn is exactly what you're saying, past the stuff that is kind of forbidden archaeology that we've never been told or deliberately kept from knowing, or we are now discovering things that have happened in past events for skulls and for skeletons and other things, and where people may have traveled well before we're told they ever got there. Now we are having massive amount of research, of discoveries and breakthroughs and research going on for people who came to the North American continent or Canada before Columbus. And we're seeing more and more of research and discoveries with that. So it's very interesting how things are breaking through. Well, you know, I need to go because I've got an appointment coming up very shortly here in about 15 minutes. So,
oh my goodness,
I
would
really
be
went
over. I totally
today.
Lost track of time, Ron. I did. I'm sorry. There was one other thing I was going to ask about. I'm hoping we'll be able to finish, you know, the conversation, you know, about the ages, because this has really been cool. In terms of, I was about to say brownies, okay, and I'm not talking about the chocolate things. There was an example that someone came. I knew this person, and they lived, I'll just say, out in the country a ways, okay? But the person was highly educated, very intelligent person, had, you know, several degrees and stuff. And he started telling me about this experience that he had. And it was unfortunate he couldn't, you know, he didn't have like a cell phone or, you know, some kind of camera to document it. But the place that he was living, he started noticing these, you know, these itty-bitty teeny-weeny trails. And he was thinking, you know, like mice or rodents, you know, or something like this. And then he started watching at different times of the day, since he had, you know, nothing better to do. He was a partly disabled person physiologically. And he saw, I mean, what he told me was, and I'm thinking, I don't think he was crazy. I really don't. He's like, he saw these itty-bitty people that were maybe like, you know, think of like a Barbie doll, literally a living Barbie doll, about, you know, 8 to 12 inches high, and they would walk on these little trails, and they would go over and they'd like get, you know, they had these itty bitty buckets, and they would like, you know, get like, you know, two or three of them to turn on the faucet and get a little bit of water and then turn it off, you know, things like that. And apparently they were, you know, in his mind, I guess they were living out or like, you know, around his area. And I was like going, wow. So there might really be itty-bitty people. And the other person that wrote about that was, if you remember, Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote the Tarzan things. And it's like, and then, of course, it evolved into, you know, whatever. And there was one, I remember one of the things, I think it was, by that time, it was like a comic book or something like that. But he had an encounter with what he called the Ant Men. And it's like, and they were these, you know, little bitty guys, and they rode these little tiny, I don't know, I think in Africa they were like called dik-diks, so they're like this little bitty deer. And, you know, so it's like, so that kind of thing has been going on. So I'm like going, well, it's either brownies, fairies, gnomes, you know, something like that. But there's been that around for a long time. And then as well as sometimes, like, people have gotten, you know, camera shots and things like that, or videos of, they'll see like a dragonfly or something like that, and it'll flutter and hover, and all of a sudden it's like it just goes whoosh, and it's like, and it, you know, you can see this itty bitty form of a person before they take off. I'm like going, that's really very interesting.
Well,
and I don't think all of them can be photoshopped.
Well, there is quite a very taken seriously and believed seriously research with many intuitive people and channelers that there are living races of creatures that are invisible to us but are on another vibrationary plane of existence but yet still interacting with our plane. And these are the ones that we have been associated with, the leprechauns, and we also call them divas. Like divas that are associated with certain plants and plant kingdoms, they are associated with the perpetuation of that plant and seed and care for that plant. They're under different names, fairies, the fairy realm, and these creatures exist mostly connected with nature and patterns of nature, and they are nature types of beings that we cannot see. Now there are a lot of people that would not believe that. That would be something they would laugh at. But actually, there is an interaction there. At times we can see them, and if anyone sees them, it is often the eye of a child who can see them.
Right.
And then after age happens, they can't, or growing up or getting older, they can't. So these types of creatures, apparently, from so many researchers and so many intuitives, exist, and they exist for a higher reason.
Right.
They exist because their purpose is to keep the planet and its living things, the grasses, the plants.
The caretakers.
Growing. And notice they're always associated with green, or the color green, or they're often associated with something.
Trees or
with
earth or with animals.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Earth, animals, precisely. They're connected with that energy level of existence. So, this has been a wonderful day. Can you believe an hour went by already?
More like an hour 15, Ron. It's like you got less time now.
Yeah, I got to get going, because I'm going to expect to call very shortly for an appointment, and I've got to set up the astrology papers. In other words, they're done, but I have to just arrange them and start getting ready for the session. But isn't this amazing how an hour and 15 went by? It's almost like we were in a time warp.
I call it the time warp. The time warp times. It's like, really? Has gone that by that fast? Okay. So I'll mention this or, you know, mention this to Bonnie and say, yeah, you know, and you know, a little more discussion on the different ages and it's like, you know, and what they have brought, what they might bring. Because I'm thinking it's like, you know, I was kind of doing the mental math there and going, okay, so yeah, so Christ came during the age of Pisces. And then, you know, we look back further into history. It's like, you know, so before the age of Pisces would have been Aries, which would have been, you know, maybe the
Rome.
But the god of war. And that, and it's like, and it was very, I shouldn't say a barbarous time, but it was like, it was a very conquering time. It was a very, you know, time when armies, you know, marched and overtook people. I mean, you know, it's like, I'll say kind of Old Testament type of stuff where everybody was always fighting everybody. And it's like,
yes,
and that
was the age of Aries. And before that was the age of Taurus. And we have the golden calf. We have the wandering in the wilderness and creating the golden calf and the image of the calf and worshiping the bull. All of that was coming from the age of Taurus. And
wow.
Others. Other things happened in that age, but that's one thing that went back even before the age of Aries. So
right.
It's very interesting when you watch history, you can see the zodiacal energies manifested. And, you know, people who say to me, oh, I don't believe in this astrology. This is all nonsense. All those silly columns and you ignorant people believing in this. All you have to do as a human being is get to really know the characteristics of each of the 12 signs of the zodiac. I mean, not just know one or two words. Really get to know all, pretty much a real depth understanding of each sign. And then watch your fellow human beings. Watch people who are born under Leo. Watch people who are born under Capricorn.
Right.
You'll see those energies manifested. And you can't see the energies of Leo that much in a Capricorn unless there's a huge amount of Leo planets or Leo ascendant. But what's interesting is when you understand the zodiac and the 12 signs and you begin applying it to the human condition, that's one of the biggest ways I've gotten hardcore skeptics to totally transform their mind. Also, when Mercury is retrograde, you can tell them in advance, well, Mercury will be retrograde from this date to this date in this upcoming month. And then they'll contact me back and they'll say, I have to tell you, communication got fouled up here, there, and everywhere. And it was all during those dates. And every time you give me those dates, the same stuff happens with communication issues. So this can't be a fantasy. There's got to be some truth to this.
It's a mere coincidence. Right.
You can't have a coincidence every time you're telling them Mercury's retrograde and those same kind of events or parallel type of events happen. So
that's
the way to get other people who don't understand this to understand it because
they've
been brainwashed that it's a false science, that it's a medieval superstition, that it's something that people in the past know, but we're now in the scientific age and we have no use for it. In fact, we have a greater use for it than ever because we have computers now and we could set up charts faster and quicker.
Oh yeah, it used to take, you know, they had to, all the you know, famous astrologers had like, I'm thinking Nostradamus is like they had several people that did, you know, their students who did like their calculations for them because it would take a long time for them to calculate things out by hand. And they were very,
I started that way 43 years ago. 43 years ago, I had to do everything by hand. So, and all the early decades of doing this work, everything was done by hand and by books. Because you had no other alternative. So, thank you again. I'll look forward to next week, everyone.
All righty. Hey, give us your information how we can get a hold of you to get a private reading, Ron.
Yes. Anyone who wants a reading, they need to contact me through my email, and that's livingastro@aol.com. That's livingastro@aol.com. And then I'll be happy to discuss more information with you about astrology charts.
All righty. Well, thank you for being with us today, and we'll let you hop off, and it's like we will see you next week.
All right. Thank you so much. Goodbye now.
It's been a delight.
A delight here, too.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Okay. Let's see here. Area code 480. You have hung on here, and thank you for your patience, and I'm just doing card reading things
today. So if you have a question, comment, or otherwise, it's like, first of all, who are we talking to?
Hi, Kelly. This is Nancy. How are you?
Hi, Nancy. How you doing?
I am doing well. So, yeah, I wanted to follow up on my friend Veronica.
Okay.
See if you're getting any vibes in what direction her little mind is going this morning. I thought I'd get a chuckle.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure on that. It's like, I know we were talking about this, you know, we were chatting about this back and forth last night. It's like, I just, you know, pretty much I just had the sense that I'm not sure what it is. I know there's obviously something that's going on because, you know, she agrees with you. You know, you guys need to talk. So it's like, I'm taking it at this point. It's like, you haven't had that opportunity to talk with her yet. Did you ask her and just, I mean, is your schedule flexible enough that you can say, you know, hey, you know, whatever time works for you, I will make it available? I mean, is your schedule that flexible or not?
Today it pretty much is.
Okay.
I don't think hers is because she's taking her son to Arkansas. So, but
okay.
Okay.
Is this like for a trip, or is this a college child, or
he's going to college?
Okay. I'm going to say that that's probably. I'm just going to kind of go out on a limb here because I know all the different things. Bonnie has, like, you know, a couple college age, or actually her daughter is now doing her externship, that kind of stuff, and her son is, you know, college age. And she's got two of them going, you know, at the same time. And I'm going to say the level of stress that she's been going through the last month, you know, normally I would, you know, I'll say normally. Normally I would talk to Bonnie like on literally like a daily basis. And she has been scarce lately. I mean, there's so much to do. I mean, and having had, you know, a couple of my children do the college experience and I went through it myself, there's just, you know, I mean, you remember, it's like there's a lot to do. Sometimes, you know, parents get really stressed and that kind of stuff. So that's what I was getting was, you know, I think there may be something going on, you know, with the family stuff. And it's like, now that makes perfect sense. It's like, okay, so she's been really involved with getting him to college and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I would say that probably more than likely when she gets back from that, it's like she will make the time to, you know, to sit down with you and talk. So, you know, but until then, it's like, I would say definitely don't take it personally because, yeah, she's, you know, she's really, she's got a lot on her plate and, you know, there's just a lot, you know, a lot of stressors that happen because, you know, especially if it's a child, you know, time away from home and it's like, and they're going to a different state, it's like, I would be really, you know, it's like when my children are first, you know, leaving the nest, it's like, I wanted them at least in the same state, you know, but that didn't always happen. It's like my oldest son, you know, joined the military. I'm like, yeah. And then like 3 days in boot camp and he was writing going, I never thought I'd say this, you know, but I'm homesick. And I'm like, oh, great, dude. You're in Georgia. We're in Wyoming. Have a good day, you know.
Right.
So
well, gosh, I just don't remember those days because all I know is I went from New Jersey to Arizona. And my parents waved goodbye on the airport, you know, at the airport. Like,
right.
Have a good semester. Whatever happened to those days?
Girl, he sent on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Right.
Well, yeah, it was more like this is your independence. We want you doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So. And being an educator myself, just watching the changes throughout the years, just kind of surprises me because the independence of the kids are completely taken away, and the parents are doing so much. But anyway, that's off track.
I'll say yes and no, and also say it's a different world of what we grew up in because, you know, we didn't have, you know, you and I, it's like, you know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have, you know, people couldn't stalk you online, you know, things like that. They couldn't find out, you know, where your house was and potentially come by and, you know, throw an egg through your window or something like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's just a lot more stuff goes on. And I understand people's desire to want to feel a little more safe, you know, and yet at the same time, there's really, I mean, I also came from a very, I'll say, old West, you know, old West mentality where, It was kind of like, you know, your best friend was your six shooter, and if you knew how to wield it well, you were okay, you know. So anyway, there's a lot has transitioned in our society, but I know you have a birthday coming up here, and I was gonna, you know, if you wanted to or had a little bit of you know, time at the moment, you know, what's your birthday, and would you know, like a look see into what's going on for your future year?
It's a whole month.
It's a whole month. No, you had to be born on
you
a
know
certain
this.
Day. You can't claim the whole month.
But one quick back to Veronica and back over there. So you're basically saying that she agrees with me and we'll have a good talk and be able to move forward. Is that what I hear?
I'm thinking so. They're always, you know, I mean, you know, and like with anything, like with any time you talk to someone, you know, always bear in mind, you know, it depends on, have they, because I did. I just saw this YouTube video. Well, it was YouTube or someplace online. And this child is like, well, wasn't a child. It's like, you know, a college-age child who was still living at home, did a prank. And it's like, and you see this, it was about a six-minute video. Apparently, he and some friends have, you know, like an at-home business, and it involves these certain type of energy drinks. And so literally, they had like 26,000 of these energy drinks, and he's, you know, narrating at the first and going, now you got to understand, my mom hates these things. If she finds one of these, you know, because they have a basement where they usually store them, you know, in the basement, that's, they don't have to worry about the weight. He says, if she finds even one of these upstairs, she like throws it out in the yard because she really just, you know, doesn't like them. And yet this kid has shown, you know, chosen to do this as his own business. Like, okay. So, his parents were coming back. They'd been on a skiing trip in Colorado, and they hadn't gotten to sleep for 24 hours, and their plane had been delayed twice. And you know, by the time they got home, you know, his parents, you know, no sleep. His mom had to meet her boss at 6 hours, and there was an interior decorator coming over. What he and his friends had done, they had stacked their cases of this energy drink up all along the walls, all throughout the house, and his mom came through and totally freaked out, totally had like a meltdown. And I can understand this. I'm sitting here, you know, putting myself in this person's shoes, going, if I was operating on no sleep, you know, if I didn't like these things, and I came home and there was, you know, floor to ceiling, wall to wall, these energy drinks all over, and it's like, and I'm having to meet my boss and my, you know, interior decorator comes, like, I think I would have been a little cranky too, you know.
Like, right.
She ended up, you know, she had this, you know, screaming meltdown. Like, he kicked him out of the house. He says, Mama, we'll fix it. It's okay. Blah, 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 blah. You know, he's really making amends there. And it's like, and him and four of his buddies say, we'll have it cleared up. He goes, 4 hours later, everything was back in the basement. We were good. You know, I had to sleep at a friend's house. And it's like, when she had some sleep and calmed down, it was fine. I'm like going, yeah, sure. You know? So you always want to look at the condition of the person that you're going to be, you know, meeting with. You want to look at your own condition. Make sure you get a good night's sleep. You know, make sure you have your, you know, what you want to say, like out on note cards, you know, something like that. Because, I mean, I know for myself, when I talk to people like one-on-one, if it's a difficult subject, if it's something that is, you know, we've got a problem, you know, need to overcome this, I make myself notes. I do. I put those little bullet points. I usually put them on index cards, you know, so I'm going, okay, we covered that, check, you know, type of thing. But, you know, get your ducks in a row. Have in mind, you know, if there's some things that you're having issues with, make sure you get those stated. And it's like, and it's always nicer to say things as I statements. It's like, I'm feeling this. I, you know, it's like you never put the, you know, never do the blame thing. It's like, well, you are, you know, it's like, because you can't speak for that person. You can only respond to, you know, when you do this, I feel this way, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like, just make sure there's a lot of I statements, you know, in your discussion. And it's like, I'm thinking, you know, as long as she's like, you know, kind of over the stress of, you know, getting her college age person off and running and whatever, you know, yeah, it's like, I would, you know, and actually I would probably give it a week, because I'm going to say like the first week after, you know, he's gone, you know, to college, it's like, there's going to be some of those, you know, I can visualize, you know, how young people do. It's like, there's going to be some of those frantic calls. I'm going, Mom, what do I do? Because blah, 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 blah. You know, so I'm going to say for about the first week,
let him get settled in. She'll be settled in. And it's like, and I mean, and if she wants to meet, you know, before then, that's great, you know, but just, you know, really don't push it. Really take, you know, really take that, you know, back and just maybe, you know, after a week, if she hasn't contacted you or, you know, something, just kind of say, yeah, did you have time yet? Or, you know, are things kind of slowed down for you yet? You know, something like that. So just kind of an acknowledgement of, yeah, you know, realize you've been going through some stuff here with this and whatever, and just wondered if this was a good time yet. So, you know, it's setting the tone of a meeting is always really, really a good thing, you know, just to be conscious of. But, yeah. Okay, so August, what day? It's like, no, you can't claim all 31 days. So.
And I have, but it is the 31st. But one thing back is, it was interesting because she was the one, because we have a team call every morning. It was
right.
Interesting. She was in charge of the team call this morning.
And, oh, wow.
And answer me this, was she kind of directing that whole team call kind of towards me?
Huh. Wow. That I'm... whole team call towards you. I'm not getting that. I'm not getting it's totally you. It's like, you know, usually if there is, you know, a team call, it's like it's because there's usually more than one person, you know, either having
well, no,
to
no, the team call is kind of like every morning they talk about something either to motivate or something to, you know, here's a thought, here's a
inspire.
Personal
okay.
growth. Kind of
right.
thing, but her theme was kind of like, and this is what she posted on Facebook, when I feel that I'm constantly being challenged, I step back and realize that it's a moment of growth, not a setback. And so
yeah.
that was kind of what her call was also about.
Okay. And like I say, it may just be her response. It may just be what she's feeling simply because she's had the added stress of her son, which she, you know, her, you know, and all that happening. It's like, and you really can't, I mean, she really can't address that and say, you know, well, my son's going off to college and I've been stressed over this, but it's like, it just is, you know, and it may not be a conscious thing. It may just be something that, you know, kind of built up. And it's like, you know, it's like the straws on the camel's back, you know, how it's like, you know, one and one and one. It's like, and at first it's, you know, it's not a lot of weight, but the more straws you add, the greater the weight is, you know, and I'm getting the sense that it was more, is more something like that. She's really feeling stressed. It's like, okay, and it's not just the business. It's like, I'm going to say that, you know, the great deal of it has just been with whatever situations and issues have been going around with getting her child off to college, okay? So it's, you know, and yes, it flows over because, you know, it's, I know people say, leave your stuff at the door. It's like, well, you know, sometimes, you know, some people are better at leaving their stuff at the, you know, check your code at the door, and you know, than other people are. So it just depends on how people are able to compartmentalize either their feelings or you know, their stressors or, you know, things like that. So I don't necessarily feel like it was targeted toward just you. Okay. I'm thinking it's probably just, you know, I'm going to say it's there's probably been enough things happening. It's like, if that was the subject of the team call, it's like, I'm thinking it's probably, that's how she's just kind of feeling with everybody in general. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, to answer your question, August 31st.
August 31st. Well, this explains a lot. You are, you're an eight of hearts with a six of clubs, and you're actually out of Leo and into Virgo. It's like, see, all this time I was thinking you were a Leo person. I'm like going, no, it's like, you're a Virgo person. Okay, a Virgo with that eight of hearts. And I'm just going to look at, because the eights are the power cards, okay? And it's, and you know, your birth card is really what you've come into this life to, you know, I'll say to work on, you know, for this, you know, for this life type of thing. And it is called the emotional power card. And you've got power and love. And then, again, all of the eights, not just the eight, but, you know, not just the eight of hearts, but, you know, diamonds, clubs, spades. I have a girl who is an eight of diamonds. It's been really interesting. But anyway, yes, they have this power. And you have to exercise discrimination and responsibility when you use it. Really, now, in your case with the hearts, you're unsurpassed in charm and magnetism. But sometimes that can really be heady, okay? And if you're not careful, you can use it
sometimes at the expense of others, okay? So that's, it's just, it's, you know, it's learning to handle that power, alrighty? And then both the karma cards of the Eight of Hearts are sevens. And this also indicates, you know, that you're going to see almost immediate results if you misuse your power with others. But it gives you a great deal of spiritual wisdom that really helps you guide your actions, okay? Because the sevens are the cards of faith. Now, but following truth, you know your truth. You know inside you can rise to great heights, and it's through sharing love and healing power with other people. This is a healer's card. This is, you know, you're a person who can truly give others the love they need to heal themselves. And of course, then there's always that old adage of, you know, healer, heal thyself, but it's like sometimes that's what we've been sent here to learn, and what we can do for others is the thing that we find hardest to do for ourselves, okay? Now, on the really upside here, you've got one of the most fortunate life paths, and, you know, many of the Eight of Hearts people have become well-known teachers, artists, statesmen, you know, performers. Your life path cards include things like the Ten of Clubs, the Eight of Diamonds, and the King of Spades, which all are inside the crown line of the life spread. These are the top three cards that make up the crown line, and that's the ones that give you the great potential for recognition and success. Particularly the King of Spades is like the you know, it's the highest card in the deck, and it's like it indicates there's, you know, a great potential for people if you want to take the responsibility to literally, you know, you're going to be the captain of your ship. It's like you are going, you know, which thinking about what you just said there is like, you know, your parents went, you know, bye-bye. You know, I was like, okay.
They
like,
did. Well, that was what they did back in the days. Come on. It was just, you know, we didn't do all the traveling to all the different colleges or anything like that. And we didn't have the internet to look at it either.
Right.
It was just, you know.
It was all through the mail,
You just checked to see if they did the kind of programs that you wanted them to do and looked at a couple pictures in a brochure and
and hope
you
for
travel.
The best, right?
That's how you travel.
Right.
You know, here we are. So,
All righty. And then there's health. Now, health is an area for you. And it's like I'm just, you know, it's like, yes, this is kind of not fair because I know some of the things you've been through. I'm like sitting here going, wow. But it's like health is an area where there's going to be challenges. You know, again, here's the big unless you pay close attention to it. So I'm just thinking with, you know, some of the surgical procedure, et cetera. It's like going, okay, yeah. Anyway, but many get so involved, you know, you get so involved in your work and families, or it's like in your case, you know, your family might have been considered, you know, your school children, you know, it's like because every year you had a new batch of them, you know, it's like that was, you know, tended to be your family. You can neglect your body to the point it breaks down. So I know you're healthy. I know, you know, you're really working at this type of stuff, but it's like sometimes you need to pay as much attention to yourself, you know, as you do for others. And I'll go back to my example that I love it because it is so just, you know, descriptive. Is like the stewardesses on an airline, when they see, you know, a mother get on with small children, the first thing they go is, yes. And it's like, if we have an emergency, you make sure you put your own air mask on first, oxygen mask on first, because you don't do anybody any good if you pass out, you know, and they'll look at the moms and go, you know, it's like, if you pass out and you can't help your child, et cetera, you know, so put your own on first, you know. So that's kind of where you're at with this. It's like, make sure you got your own oxygen mask on first, okay? Because sometimes
right.
You don't. Sometimes you don't. Okay, you've got the Seven of Spades is your first karma card that, you know, is going to demand that compensation if you neglect that area. And with so much going on for you, you know, you really do. You know, you think that you could kind of relax and enjoy life, and I know you know, you do this, you know, fun thing, but often you set such a fast pace for yourself that it becomes detrimental. Even, you know, you can be over-funned, okay? It's like, I'm trying to think of I think it was in The Emperor's New Groove. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, but it's like Cusco got turned into a llama. And one of the lines is that we laugh about the lines. It's like, no thanks, I'm all funned out. You know, so sometimes it's like that for you. You just get all funned out because you do it so hectically, okay?
There should be no such thing.
Well, and it's interesting how often the Eight of Hearts person, you know, you either have an immediate, either family circle or some friends that consists of eight people that's, you know, kind of like in your inner circle. Eight of Hearts means, you know, eight people that you either, you know, love or, you know, or, you know, other people might have 8 children, you know, or some gentlemen have been known to, you know, been divorced that many times and have had 8 wives, you know, something like that, or, you know, in your case, you know, maybe you date 8 guys, whatever it is. But you've got a really good mind, and you excel as a teacher, which you were, or, you know, in any occupation where a good mind is going to make a difference. You have to work hard for the money that you make, but it can be made, and you need, you know, don't worry about money. The Eight of Hearts people tend to achieve measure of prominence in their lifetime, especially after the age of 36, when there's like this rising up in power and accomplishment. With all the power really at your command, there's very little that you cannot do as long as, here's the as long as you're not motivated by fear. Don't get into fear. It's a lower vibration. It's always make sure that what you're doing is, you know, the positive, the upbeat. It's like, you know, yeah, I'm going to have, you know, and fun is a good way to do that. Fun is a good way, you know, when you keep the fun in your life, you know, that way you're less motivated, you know, by fear. So it's like, yes, always, always stay in that love vibration. Now, in relationships, similar to the Seven of Hearts, you've got power, you know, for better or worse, that you need to administer with wisdom. The Eight of Hearts, it does. It's also called either, you know, the guys, either the playboys or the playgirls of the deck. You've got that charm, that magnetism. You can get what you want, and you go after what you want. You know how to love others and make people feel really special. You're really less needy than a lot of the cards, and you usually retain what's called, you know, the upper hand. You know, or the dominant partner, you know, you love, I don't know if it's love the most or love the least, whichever in, you know, in the relationships. But sometimes having that, you can go from one relationship to the next one, and you really leave it if and when the relationship starts to make you uncomfortable. If you do choose to get married, it can be, you know, you can get aggressive. I'll just put it that way. Sometimes Eight of Hearts women are so aggressive, it scares some of the guys away, okay, because you've got a lot of power, and sometimes guys just don't know how to handle you. It's like, oh, my, it's like, wow, I want to have this, and it's like, I hate to say it's like a dog chasing a car, you know, car tire. It's like if the tire stops, they go, what do I do with this, you know? So sometimes that's how it's been with, you know, I'll say, you know, guy relationships. In love, you just need to be aware of what you do and to whom you do it with, you know. So out of all the cards in the deck, you have the swiftest karmic payback from wrong actions. You've really got to harness that power and use it with, you know, maturity and wisdom to get that true happiness that you're really looking for. Okay, I've got to look and see who are famous people. Were okay. There's John Larroquette, Richard Gere. Okay, these are actors. John Cleese, comedian. Debbie Gibson, the singer. Van Morrison, a singer. Brian Gumsel, a TV host. Jerry Lee Lewis, well, was a singer. Kelly Osbourne, a singer. She's the daughter of Ozzy Osbourne. There is Susan Lucci, Madeline Kahn, Jim Harbaugh, he's a football player. Frank Robinson is a baseball player. John Paxson also was a basketball player, and then Hersey Hawkins also a basketball player. So those are the kind of famous eights, okay, that they give us there. And I'm thinking here for this year, it's like, you know, in order to, you know, look at your yearly reading, and it's like, and I know Bonnie jokes about her age all the time, but yes, we know she just turned 16. But in reality, if you had to count chronological years here, Nancy, it's like, how old are you with us on this planet this year? Because this makes a difference in your yearly reading.
are you asking me or telling me?
Yes. Yeah, because I wasn't sure what wasn't sure what year you were born in.
I was born in 61.
61. Okay, let's see. Now I got to do math. Okay, so
I'll be
53. Okay, there we go. Okay, and you're not quite there yet because we're not quite at the end of August. So what you're still finishing up on here, this is your 52nd year. Oh, yeah. 52nd year. This is a really significant one anyway because this is one of those years, and it comes about pretty much for everyone. It's like this is one of those choice years for everyone when they reach the age of 52. Just like 45 is the rebirth year, 44 is the pre-birth year. 52 is the age when you really decide whether you're gonna, you know, row your boat or whether you're just gonna put up a mast and put up a sail and go wherever the wind takes me type of thing. So it's really, you know, are you going to row your own boat? Are you going to fully engage in being on this planet for the rest of your years? Or are you just going to go, I'm going to lollygag around, okay? So those are some of the choices and some of the things you really
been looking at and really been, you know, focused on your mind this year. I will say it's like, so I know you're in your Neptune time, which right now is an Ace of Diamonds, and your long range card has been the Queen of Diamonds, since like sometimes we say the infamous Queen of Diamonds. But in terms of long, okay, let's see. Now, the Queen of Diamonds, okay, as a card, can sometimes represent a woman who often spends beyond her means. Often she's successfully engaged in her own business or some business capacity. Service through money, though, is her motto, and she's very generous to those she loves. And now, for you, there might have been either a woman or a man in your life this year who comes into major focus. However, it can also mean that you have some of the attributes of the Queen of Diamonds mentioned above. And it can be very good for management of a business and financial success in almost any business or other endeavor. However, just be aware of the expensive taste of the Queen of Diamonds, which accompany, you know, your business acumen. Inwardly, the Queen of Diamonds is a person who gives others a higher and more spiritual set of values, which is another important role you may play this year. The key words for this year, which, like I say, coming to a closer, wish we'd have started this, you know, last year, dang. It's a year of achieving financial success in business or in service to others, making large purchases of luxury items. So I'm thinking large purchases of luxury items. Well, it's like you had your house redone there. It's like got your house back together, and I'm sure that's, you know, that's never cheap. And then I look at the new business that you're in. So, you know, and you've worked hard, and I know you've worked hard. And there's still, you know, there's still success to be had there, really, really and truly. Now we look at where you're at, just specifically the Ace of Diamonds, and that's in your Neptune time frame here. Neptune is, you know, your dreams, your, you know, the fantasies, the hopes, the goals, that kind of stuff. It might bring ambition that encourages travel or is in some way related to either, you know, to travel or business interests, that kind of stuff. It could be a desire for money to take a business trip or used in some business deal, a lot of business there, okay. Well, now caution, though, is advised under Neptune's influence because there can be illusions, okay. There can be fantasies or, you know, things that may not necessarily, the other word is deception, that was what I was looking for. You know, so everything is not necessarily as it appears. You know, it's like question your own motives, okay, you know, be really aware of what you're doing and why, and of what, you know, your desires are. So, you know, just be really aware that you're not falling, you know, like pray to, you know, either your desires, I'll say either your desires or just keep coming back to, you know, fantasy illusion. So it's like just make sure that you got your feet firmly on the ground, okay? I'll put it that way. And then again, it can represent the beginning of a new job or money-making project that takes you, you know, in new directions. So it's like certainly this is, you know, like I say, this is kind of where you're at, you know, in some ways. And it's like, and what I'm seeing with that is like, you know, keep working at it, keep plugging at it. Don't give up on it. Now I will say here for the, you know, what you're coming up into, and it's a little ways off here. You're coming up for your 53rd year. You're going to have the Jack of Hearts as your long range card. And that's going to be an entirely different energy, different look at things. You've got to have your, you know, as your Pluto result card, the challenge for your year is the Ten of Spades, which it's a powerful card, but there's going to be some things that you've set up for yourself in business, and it's like it's going to be a year where you're really going to work, and I say work like a dog, you know, you're going to work hard, you know, but that's your challenge for this year. Now, the result, though, for, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, through the year, it's like your result card, the outcome. And this is, again, for, you know, for next year, you've got the Queen of Spades. So that is a very self-mastery card that, you know, that is like, you know, the highest queen in the deck. And that speaks a lot of self-mastery. So it's like, you know, self-mastery, but it's like self-mastery in business. So it's like I'm just seeing this, you know, the coming year is going to be really good for business. Your environment card, the King of Clubs. That, you know, any of the kings are the, you know, the top of their suit. And with clubs, it's like it's going to be learning something new. You know, it's about scholarship. It's about communication. It's a very communicating card. It's also leading. It's like, and I'm thinking, you know, putting together a team, you know, your team, that kind of stuff, leading people. So it's like, you know, this is all, you know, all really a business focus. The displacement card, you've got a six of hearts. Sixes are always the karma cards of some sort. So this is going to be in relationships. So I'm going to say this is going to be your when you're really going to be working on balancing the, you know, the karma out with what's going on in relationships, whether it's, you know, relationships with upline, with downline, you know. Yeah. Wee-willy-wee, or say upstairs, downstairs, and it's like, yeah, I was like, what? I don't know. There's the I don't know. It was old nursery rhyme flipped in, and I'm like, I don't know what that was. Anyway, but just, you know, balancing things with relationships this coming year, too. When you start out, those first two cards in Mercury starts out a little bit challenging because the odd cards are always a bit more of a challenge. You've got a seven of spades and a nine of diamonds in that Mercury time frame. So for the first 52 days after your birthday, so that's going to be like September into, like, you know, say around mid-October, something like that. Sevens are about the faith, and nines are about, you know, doors open, doors close, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's going to be tying up something financially. You're going to have some tie-ups, you know, some endings, some closures with something financially. You're also going to have, with that seven of spades, having faith, and it's like, that's about, I know it's about, you know, it's about health, it's about work, job, career. But it's like, you know, having some faith and, you know, sticking with stuff and working at things, but working at it not to the point where it's detrimental to your health when you're doing the work, okay? So don't, you know, don't overwork yourself because you've got such a strong, you know, body constitution that sometimes you tend to really push yourself to the max, okay? Take it to the limit. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Anyway, let's see here. Looking at my time, oh my goodness, we've got about 9 minutes left here. Alrighty. Might have to finish this another day. What I am going to do here really quick is, because I know I got a little bit of time, you know, to work this out here. I'm going to give you the days, you know, the days, dates, times, that kind of stuff of when things transition, when things happen. Transitory dates, you know, something like that. It's like when the major influence the planets are. So here we go. So for you this year, Mercury starts, your Mercury time frame, that 52 days goes from August 31st. It's going to go up to October 21st.
August 31st to when?
To October 21st. Okay, and this will be in archives too, so you can always come back and get it. The Venus time is going to be from October 22nd until December 12th. Your Mars time is going to be December 13th up until February 3rd of 2015, okay? February 4th, teen, starts your Jupiter time frame, and that's your blessed time of the year. Your Saturn time frame will start March 28th, 2015. The Uranian time frame will start May 19th of 2015. And the Neptune, last but not least, begins July 10th of 2015. So that's, you know, like I say, that's where you're at right now in terms of year, and that goes, you know, to your next birthday. So there's the time frames, and then going back here and just kind of looking at what you got going there. Okay, we kind of touched on, you've got the seven of spades and the nine of diamonds in Mercury for the 53rd year. For the Venus time frame, you've got a seven of clubs and a four of hearts. A little bit of challenge, a little bit of letting go, a little bit of, you know, communicating with people, that kind of stuff. And the four is one of the lesser marriage cards. So it's really wanting, I'm going to say it's going to be really having solid relationships and really stabilizing relationships. It's like, you know, loving feelings there. The Mars time frame, you've got a three of spades and a jack of diamonds. Okay, and those are both high creative cards. There's caution there, though, because in that Mars time is working with men. So it's like, you know, masculine influence of the sort. Just beware of maybe a younger man. I don't know. It might be a challenging time frame. Let's go that way. Jupiter. Jupiter time frame here is your blessed time of the year, and you've got two amazingly strong cards. You've got the Eight of Clubs and the Queen of Clubs. Eight of Clubs is known as one of the most psychic cards in the deck, if not the card, so you're going to be really drawing on your intuition. That Queen of Clubs, again, that self-mastery with communications, with even maybe teaching, so it's like, you know, maybe a time when you're starting to, you know, teach others in the business in you're in, or, you know, got to say teaching potentially to you, so it could be, you know, in other areas, but it's like there's going to be that, you know, and whatever it is, that's where, you know, massive blessings will come there. Then you go into Saturn. Saturn, you've got the Five of Clubs and the Two of Clubs. Five is that restless energy. It's like fives are very, you know, restless, want to get up and go, want to move it, you know, that kind of stuff. And the two asks for, twos always want to be in union or in harmony or, you know, with a partner, that kind of stuff. So it's like, and both of those being clubs, they're the scholarships card, they're, you know, affecting, you know, teaching, writing, you know, that kind of stuff. And then say just that five, I'm sitting there going, if you, you know, I don't think you're going to move, but it's like, you know, you might be rearranging your house at that time. Who knows, you know. The Uranian time frame, the Jack Club's, again, very, you know, highly creative. And it's, you know, in Uranus, which is like very unexpected things, you know, go on and happen. And then that Nine of Spades, there's one of the cautionaries. I'm not getting a sense of maybe so much for yourself, but it's like Nines of Spades can be closures in, you know, work and health. It can, you know, with the health, it's not necessarily yourself. It might be older relatives or people around you who might be experiencing health issues at the time. Okay? If it's not directly you yourself, just kind of be, I'm going to say, be in touch with your family. You know, just make sure that, if your parents are more aged, whatever, it's like just really, you know, keep a pulse on them, okay? Just kind of keep track of them.
And that
Neptune.
Was that period again?
That was during the Uranus period. That's 102 days before your next birthday. The Uranium time frame starts May 19th, okay? So just kind of, you know, of next year. So I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to actually be encouraging, you know, keep in touch with your parents. Like, hopefully, you know, you do all the time anyway, but, you know, just kind of keeping in touch with them maybe, you know, through the year and encourage them to be mindful of their diet, be mindful of their exercise, make sure they're kind of, you know, taking care of themselves, you know, that kind of stuff, or, you know, or friends who might be in that same boat, okay? Then the last one is the Queen of Diamonds in the Neptune time. We talked a little bit about the Queen of Diamonds as your long range from, you know, from this year. But the Queen of Diamonds in Neptune gives an entirely different flavor there because, again, that's it's a mastery card. It's mastering your finances, mastering, and the Diamonds is not just about money, but it's also about your values. So really just, and there's always a cautionary, it's like anytime powerful card is like that is in the, you know, the dreamy time of the year. It's like, yes, it could really be something that is, you know, a good thing, but be careful. The rose-colored glasses are not so thick that, you know, you take them off and it becomes whatever you saw happening. And the rose-colored glasses becomes a nightmare. That's always the cautionary during the Neptune time period is make sure you don't have the rose-colored glasses on point where when they come off, you know, you haven't, you know, been a nightmare unfolding instead of this wonderful, cozy scene you've been seeing. So that's up there. Okay, so we can go over those a little bit. You know, I'll just say I'm going to encourage you to call back in. Yeah, because I got like 3 minutes here. There's no way I can do that today. But do call back, and Bonnie will be back on Monday. And we do have Laura Perrette with us here tomorrow. So definitely, you know, call back in. And I can't describe it. She's, you know, the angels speak, you know, angels speak healing, but it's like she addresses issues that, you know, with us, within us. And I'll say maybe a little bit of what's called the Ho'oponopono. If you've never looked that up, it's spelled, I think it's spelled, it's like it's Hawaiian words, it's H-O, and then there's apostrophe O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O, Ho'oponopono. And there's this Dr. Lou, I can't remember his last name, Lou something or other, but he was a doctor that, you know, psychological doctor, something like that. Anyway, he ended up, being in charge of a ward of mentally ill criminals. And he adopted this whole bit of, you know, it talks about him. There's a little, you know, blog blurb somewhere on the internet, because that's where I found it. But it talks about him literally healing this whole ward of mentally, like, insane criminal type people, all except for two of them. There's only two of the nuts were so, you know, tough that he couldn't crack them. But literally, it's like when he first came, this place was terrible. It's like, you know, even the paint wouldn't stick to the walls. The, you know, nobody wanted to work there. The staffers didn't, because they were always getting attacked by the inmates. It was really just a horrible, terrible, depressing place. And Ho'oponopono talks about, there's four questions where they say, you know, you take these four questions in the context of any situation you're having, which, oh, there we go, might be helpful, you know, with this. But you say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. And he didn't just, you know, you don't just, you know, say, I mean, you know, those are the questions, or statements you pose out there. But he would take a person's, one of the criminals, or, you know, one of the inmates, whatever, folders, and he would take their file into his office, you know, one or two of them at a time. And, you know, he would just disappear and be in the office, like, for almost all day. You know, it's like, I mean, he would come out and he'd look around every now and then, you know, whatever. And then he'd go back in and he would focus. But he focused these four questions or these four statements on each person that was one of the inmates, and it was, you know, the inmate of the day, shall we say. But he would, you know, tell that person, you know, I love you. Whatever, you know, trials and tribulations has come through, it's like, you know, you're loved. At some basic level, you know, this, you know, the saying goes, we're a spirit having a human experience. So it's like he was loving them at the level of spirit, of what animates them. So, you know, I love you, and really getting that message through. And then, I'm sorry. 90 seconds, great. And then really telling that person, you know, I'm sorry. And it's like, I'm sorry that, you know, whatever happened to you in life brought you to this point. You know, you had these experiences. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. And then it was like he was taking it on to himself. He'd say, please forgive me. Please forgive him for what, you know, please forgive me for whatever part I've had in this. And then, you know, at the very last, you know, thank you for forgiving me, whatever. But it's really taking everything that's happening to you, around you, you know, unto yourself, and going, I'm responsible for it. And he took that to the nth degree. But it's really a cool, you know, look that up. You know, okay, we got 60 seconds here. Everybody, we're going to be back with Laura Perrette tomorrow. She's that angel speak healer, and it's like, you know, and Nancy, I encourage you to call in, because you might be really amazed at happy.
Okay.
She's with us once a month on, you know, on Thursdays from 1 to 3. And then next week, Bonnie will be back with us. Bonnie and Susan will be back from their travels with us on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, Ron and I, and Thursday, it's like I'm not sure. It's like I'm thinking it's going to be Brenda and Annabelle. Could be Leslie. It's like, you know, we've got a variety of people. But anyway, they're going to kick us off air. So
10 seconds.
There we go, 10 seconds. Love to everybody. You know, I don't do the Bonnie scream, but I'll say love is in the air. And Bonnie sends her regards to all of you, to all of our callers, our listeners, our chatters. And thank you guys for being with us. And we will see you all another day. So thank you for calling in, Nancy. And we'll hopefully talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.